Everybody wants to know a secret. Well, God's got lots of secrets he wants to tell us. And I know when you think about intercessory prayer, you think of somebody like David Brainerd that was on his face all day long out in the cornfields, out in the wheat fields, with the American Indians. He had such a burden for them. He gave his life. He went without food. He gave his life in order to pray for the Indians. And we think of men like Praying Hyde and other saints that pray all day long and they prostrate themselves before the Lord. Well, that's true. God's got some people like that. But intercessory prayer, people don't know. We're here to tell you some of the secrets of it. It's for others, of course, not for yourself. And that's where the secret lies. And that is giving yourself to other people. We're so glad that we've got a spirit. We are spiritual beings. And we run around in natural bodies. Just because we're on this earth, we have to do that. You know, the scripture says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Well, we don't have to wait for that. We can bow right now in the presence of Jesus. So let's just bow our heads, and we'll bow in his presence, and we'll say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, we bow in thy presence, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Father,
hallelujah.
We thank you we can be in Orlando.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, that you're in our midst here, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for the Hagen Ministry Rhema Outreach.
Hallelujah.
And we stand here today to lift up the name of Jesus. We stand here today to lift up those that lift up the name of Jesus. And Father, we stand here today and we ask that you would give us utterance in the Spirit, Lord, to bring forth your purpose and plan for this hour, for today. So, Father, we bless these dear hearts. And, Father, we give them hearts to understand, to receive, and, Father, minister to their needs. Ha-ha, yeah, soporomonda. House, yeah, that house they have need of, Lord. I lift up that house, Lord. And, Lord, you're going to intervene for that house. You're going to release it. You're going to make the provision for it. Ha-ha, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, for, Father, we know it in the Spirit. Release, release, release. Aramasondo. Hallelujah. Yeah, peace. Peace to your spirit. Or we speak peace to your spirit. Hallelujah. As I begin to pray in the Spirit, intercession wants to come. I want to pray for people. My spirit wants to pray for your needs. And as I lift up my heart to the Lord, I will intercede for needs for people that are here. Your spirit goes out to lift them up to the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm going to look up the scripture here. Acts 13:2. You know, Dr. Jack Hayford, I'm sure most of you have heard of Dr. Jack Hayford on the West Coast, maybe read some of his articles and heard him over television and other places. Well, he's an authority on Hebrew and Greek, and he says one of the words for intercession in the Hebrew in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word paga, P-A-G-H-A. And that word means a prescribed limit for territories against which the enemy shall not encroach. So we know when we pray in the Spirit,
hallelujah,
that we have a certain territory God's given us. We travel, you know, sort of in companies. So, you know, there's great companies of angels. We travel kind of in companies. People travel in companies. Billy Graham's got companies he travels in. We travel with some of them sometimes. Other people have companies they travel in. Well, the thing is, there are certain territories that need to be taken. And then the enemy cannot encroach and take away the territory that's ours when we pray and pray in the Spirit. Now, we teach, and we do a lot of teaching on intercessory prayer. We said when we started, how in the world can we ever teach intercessory prayer? You do it.
Mm-hmm.
You do it, period. But then we found out something the Lord did want us to share with you. Extreme experiences that we've had with the Spirit. So we now are describing a territory. We'll call this area of Orlando and the area right surrounding here. And we take authority now in the name of Jesus over ever hindering spirit.
Amen.
We take authority, Satan, over you and any work that you would do to hinder people from coming. And Satan, your work is bound. We will not have it. Everybody agreed? Say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's just praise him. Praise him. Paga, that's the territory here. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, when I first met my husband, well, I really didn't meet him. He was in the choir, and I played the piano for church. We're Assembly of God background. I know you want to identify us what we're coming from. We were raised in the Assemblies of God, so we have that teaching very much in our spirits. And some the Lord's added to. But you know that I knew my husband was one of the fellows in the choir. There weren't too many boys in the choir and young men. There were a lot of girls and there were a lot of old maids. You know, in those days we called them old maids. Now we call them career women. And now if I had told you in those days that I knew my husband, that wouldn't be true. I didn't know him. I knew that he was fellow sang in the choir. I knew his name was Philip, but I didn't even know his last name. Now, if I had met him in the supermarket and just happened to brush up against him, do you think I could say I knew him? Couldn't say I knew anybody that way. Even if I talked to him and said, hello, how are you? I've seen you someplace. What's your last name? I was too bashful to do it in those days, but if I had, I wouldn't say I knew Philip. But you know, when he began to sit where I sat in church near the piano in the front row, and when he began to ask me if he could take me, my mother, my aunt, my sister home from church, I still couldn't say I knew him, but I began to know him. And then as we spent more time together, then I could say, and people would say, do you know Philip Halverson? I would say, yes, I know Philip Halverson. I really didn't know him until after I was married to him. And then I really knew my husband. Because then I had sweet communion with him all the time. Not just when he'd come into town, not just when we'd be able to be together, but all the time we'd communion. That's the way it is with Jesus. We can know about him. We can even get lost amid the wonders of his word. We can even discover all kinds of things about him here, which we have to do. But, oh, listen, our message to you today is one thing, and that is get to know him. If you need healing, you get to know the healer, Jesus. My husband's got a credit card, and he gives it to me when I go out shopping. We decided not to have two credit cards, and we won't go into that. But he's very loving and gracious to me. He likes to have me buy what I need to buy. But, you know, I can take the credit card from my husband. I can talk to my husband first thing in the morning, and I can say, oh, I think you're a great husband. You've given me so many things. I do thank you for it, Philip, because that you married me and gave me your credit card. And I thank you for your credit card. And then I would never talk to him the rest of the day, unless I was with a big group of people. And then I would make a point of saying, this is my husband, Philip Halverson. I love Philip Halverson, but I never talked to him otherwise. Only when we're in a group of people. Or, if I was listening to a tape, and they were talking about Philip Halverson, I'd say, oh yes, yes, that's true. Yes, he is kind, he is good, he's wonderful. He's very loving to me. Yes, I could do all those things. I could go out the credit card and I could buy all kinds of things, and my husband would pay the bill. But I never talked to him. See? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We can seek all those things. We can have them all. God gives them to us. And yet, a lot of times we don't spend any time talking to them. We just don't do it. 1 year ago, we didn't do it either. We prayed in church. We prayed at home. Breakfast prayer. We were very busy in our Assembly of God church. Nobody was busier. My husband was our pastor's right-hand man. Although he had a job, we were at church all the time working. Do you remember those days?
Yes, I say.
We can know everything about Jesus. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, until we get just him and you, just him and me alone, mm-hmm. talking together, mm-hmm. and then being quiet and let him talk to you, he will talk to you. You don't just talk to God. God will talk to you. When you're through making all your requests, thanking him for everything, then just be quiet for a while and hear the voice of God. Right after a season of prayer, just between you and your Father, be quiet. And you'll hear God speak. The first thing he says right after you've been praying will be very meaningful to you. And you can prove that out.
Amen.
I thought of something that Brother Hagin said this morning about in Genesis, how God said, and it was so. And I was reminded of that second verse in Genesis where it says, let's just read it. Genesis 1, I think it's just the second verse. Yeah. In the beginning, God formed and made the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And then it says, the Spirit of the Lord moved. The Spirit of God moved. And then right after that, it says, and God said, the Spirit of the Lord moves. And then God speaks. He's moving over the whole face of the earth today. You know, God's got a plan. Now, my anointing is in the teaching, shall I say, teaching ministry. We really don't have it. We figured out we don't have a ministry. He does.
Amen.
He's got one. Oh, Jesus and the Holy Spirit have got a ministry. And they'll use anybody they can find that wants to just love Jesus and follow the Lamb with us wherever he goes. Just go with Jesus. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And as you follow him, as you follow on to know the Lord, there's a coming to know him. And as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, many people, you know, they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They want to speak in that heavenly language. They want to move in the joy of it. But in Acts 1:8, it says you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And many people are not aware when you step into this arena, you're going to step into an arena of warfare. For the Holy Spirit is given to you to war against the powers of darkness. And so many people come and they want to come into a meeting, a prayer meeting. They want to worship the Lord. They want that all the joy. They want to be slain in the Spirit. But there is a place of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit. He lives within. And the Holy Spirit will quicken you. The Holy Spirit will bring you into a presence of the Lord as you will just take time to spend time with him. And as you will pray in that tongue, I find as I pray in that tongue, it's very easy to step up into a higher plane of prayer, to step up into the supernaturalness of the Spirit. For we're a spirit, a soul, and a body, and it's our spirit that touches God. And in this realm of the Spirit, you step into a supernatural realm, and that you will worship God and step into that realm. It's a realm that is limitless. It's a realm that has no boundaries. And in this realm of the Spirit, even in the Spirit, you can go and minister. You can take God's word. The wonderful presence of the Lord fills your being. And as God has led me in intercessory prayer, God has taught me many things in this area through prayer and through the Word. For we came into this experience long before there was a Rhema, long before Brother Hagin was teaching on faith around. We didn't know about it. We came out of the days when, in the Pentecostal background, they knew to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they would tarry for it until they'd be filled. And we knew in the church, we knew someone to have an utterance in the Spirit, give forth an utterance in the tongue. And we knew the interpretation. And someone might give forth a prophecy. But there were other realms of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And many people did not know much of this. There were those in the early days that moved with tremendous gifts of healing and that. And we saw miracles. We haven't seen it today yet. What we saw is very young people. It was tremendous as God poured out His Spirit in the early part of the century. But that same Holy Spirit is moving today.
Yes, hallelujah.
He's moving.
Oh, yes.
And I'm so thrilled to be here with Ken Hagin Jr., a man that's called of God, Hora Masando, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon that man. Huh? Hora Masindara. Brother Hagin, Papa, has ministered to us over the years, supernaturally, and ministered to our spirit, and taught, and things have come forth as we have listened to this man that moves in the revelation of God's Spirit in a phenomenal way. It's phenomenal. But the Holy Spirit will be the same way in your life, whatever ministry He calls you to, that's the area He's going to move in. And as I begin to pray, the Lord brings to me the intercession, and immediately I want to lift up people's needs, and the word of knowledge comes to take hold and help me bring this forth.
Yeah.
But praise God.
Hallelujah.
But there, go ahead. No, go ahead. Someone.
Everybody always wants to know how to start with you. Because
yeah.
It wasn't always this way. It's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy. It comes with intercession. It comes with knowing Jesus. See, whom to know is life eternal. But not following your natural dictates. But I know we came to the place where we certainly were serving God. You know, Jesus said that we're to be servants. And if you're a servant, you do as you're told. And that's the first place you started, is in church. Whatever they want you to do, you do it. Just do it. And we did it with our whole heart. We taught Sunday school. We taught classes in new evangelism. We were in a very large church, became a large church, where we were an inner city church where we ministered to the people right in the neighborhoods. And, of course, many people came. The poor came from around us, but the needy, the rich people, the people of means, I should say, came also because they found out that they had a source for their needs to be met. And it was in this setting that we found ourselves so busy serving God with all our hearts. And you know, it's something, it was of God that He put that feeling inside of our spirit, so that wasn't enough. I don't know what it was. We were happy. We had a wonderful pastor who encouraged everybody to pray and had prayer meetings and study the Word. My word, we can quote almost all the New Testament and much of the Old. We were taught to memorize the Scriptures, and we love it, and we quote it to this day. I can't tell you what it was. We were both filled with the Holy Spirit in us. The Spirit moved upon us. We were home one day. I was crying. And I said to Philip, honey, you know, there's more. God's got more for us than this. I don't know what it is. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean a ministry at all. If God had said that day to us we had a ministry, we would have backed out completely. That's not in our thinking. It is not this day in our thinking that we would minister to you folks. It's the plan of God. We'll explain that as we go on. But there was such a sense of abandonment to anything. Just, oh, God, we need you. We're caught up in your work. It's like the wife that cleans house all day long for her husband. When her husband comes home, she never talks to him. Gets a meal already, and then she leaves. Did you ever hear of such a crazy situation? Well, it's done every day in the church. We did it. We were saved. We knew we were saved. We were born again. We were filled with the Spirit. But to see, the Spirit wanted to do a deeper work. And He found some vessels, with you too, I'm sure, that there was that intense hunger for more and more and more, and it wasn't satisfied with programs, it wasn't satisfied, it had to have more in our own lives. We said, Father, we want to see the book of Acts coming forth. You know, God's got a plan. He had a plan with Adam. And He said, Adam, don't eat of the tree of knowledge. That's the one tree you can't eat of. So Adam could have eaten of the tree of life, but he chose knowledge, and that's what men have done ever since. They choose worldly knowledge, which is not true, and Satan uses it to deceive people. He deceived Adam by telling him things that weren't true. He's going to be like God, and he used that to get Adam to do the wrong thing. Now, if we can all choose life too, we don't have to choose earthly knowledge. God said He's going to teach us everything. We hear from the Father directly. We read it in His Word, and then He speaks to us. The book of Acts, and we're going to be talking about that tomorrow, how the Holy Spirit speaks. And you find lots of it in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. And so forth. Visions and dreams and things like that, which we'll share with you. But God's got a plan, and His plan is revealed in His Word, and then as time goes on, He reveals individually to us what we should do. There are three things. He has a plan, He's prepared the outcome, and He has to position us. Now, if you want to entitle the tape today, you can entitle it, He Positions Us. That's what we're going to talk about. How does God position us? When He prepares the outcome, let's turn to Colossians 2:15. That'll set a good stage for us here. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 2:15. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. God disarmed the principalities and powers ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in Him and in it. Let me read it out of the King James. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He spoiled, you know what principalities and powers are? That's why you're a spirit being. You're dealing in principalities and powers. You're not dealing with buying food and eating, and that's just to get along in this world. You buy clothes you can wear and look decent to people that you're in contact with, because that's the way the world does. But we are dealing in principalities and powers, and that's the area the Lord wants us to get to. We see that that's the area Jesus mostly in his life ministered to the spirit behind the things, and that's what controls men. You know, we control, through our spirits, we control the things that go on around us. The world does not control us. We control the factors that go on around us, if we do it the way the Lord said, in the spirit. So God has a plan. He's already prepared the outcome. It's always a good outcome with God. But then, of course, the problem is he has to position us to get us to do what he wants to. And a lot of times he's got to make course corrections, you know, a little over this way. He wants us over there, and we sometimes go like this, you know. And the more we get to know him, we hear the voice clearer. And then sometimes he allows us to see sometimes part of that place he has for us. And then we can set our... what do they call it, the thing that tells you when you're on course in a ship? The
compass.
The compass. We can set our compass more accurately as we know the word and the spirit deals with us. So he plans the outcome. You know, there's a lot of teaching on prayer, especially these days on intercessory prayer. And lots of teachers that never do intercessory prayer teach on it. We know that is true, and we don't want to judge them. We pray the Lord will show them, because it's more than taking the altar stones and rearranging them. See, just take the stones over here and put them over here. Listen, it's the fire on the altar. It's that fire on the altar that God wants. He wants to burn up things. He wants to consume with his wonderful power so that we can operate in the Holy Spirit. Well, we abandoned ourselves to God. We said, God, we have to know more about you with us. We have to know that. And then right away we looked at one another, dried our tears. I don't know if you were crying, I don't remember that, but I was. We said, oh, Lord, what can we do? We were standing by our dining room table, and we said, oh, God, what can we do to prove to you that we are earnest about this? We're earnest. We mean it, God. And then the thought came by the Spirit, I know. We were taught to tithe. We always gave 1/10 of every check that came in, whatever the money amount was, we took 10% off and brought it to our church. That we were taught that. We've always done that since we were small. So we knew how to tithe. But the Lord seemed to whisper to us, and we said, oh, we know what we'll do. We'll start giving 1/10 off of an income we want to make, because of needs that were in our congregation. We had many poor Indians. We had many poor people that were coming, getting saved, coming to the altar. But my, the needs of the family were tremendous. As we'd go out different times and Saturday afternoons and call on these families living in the wretched places of the city, we would find out their desperate needs. And, I mean, if we had it, we would give it, of course. And we went without covering the sofa, you know, and the carpet was getting a little threadbare, and we'd buy a little rug and put over that part so it would look nice. And we were things that ordinarily we just go out and buy it and do it. We were doing without that so that we could help people. I don't say that to build us up, but I will say this, that God knows the motivation of our heart was not for ourselves. It was not. It was for other people. So we said, Lord, we want a bigger income to help with.
And we begin to give unto the Lord according to an income we wanted to receive. And really, it wasn't that I was spiritual in any way. It wasn't that I knew anything very much. But I'd been reading the scripture, and I'd read about Abraham, how he'd given a 10th part to the Lord, and I'd read Malachi, the 3rd chapter, about this, to bring your tithes into the offering, you know, to the Lord. And the Lord says, prove me. And I, in the church, I saw all these desperate needs of people. For a few dollars, you could help people. Didn't have food, didn't have clothes. And listen, when you show love to people, they'll come to that church. And I could share many things in this area that we did get into. But as we kept giving money to the Lord,
we started right away.
Right away. And there was a period of time when Satan came at us in ways so tremendous that it seemed like we couldn't make it. And you will find in your life, when you purpose to serve the Lord, Satan's going to put up all kinds of things. And just to give you a little idea of what happened, one day we got a call from the University of Minnesota. My son was attending the university, and I was to pick him up. It was a snowstorm, and I couldn't find him, and I came home, and we got a telephone call that says, come over to the emergency. Your son was playing hockey, and there's been an accident. Well, he's out like a light. Been out for a long time, and they said, we want you to come over immediately. We called our pastor's wife. She came to the hospital, and we came to the hospital. When I came there, he was on a litter, paralyzed on one side. And as I looked down, his skull was fractured, like a big V down through the middle of his head. And they were wanting to operate. And our pastor's wife and Fern and I arrived at the same time, and we said, we want to pray. We prayed. And we no more than finished praying when my son raised up. I have one son. He raised up on his elbow, and he looked at me. He says, Dad, he says, have I got a headache? God delivered him. But there were many of these things that happened. And it didn't seem like anything was transpiring. But we were believing God. But after about 6 months of time, God began to move in my life, in my prayer life, in a different way. Praise God.
Oh, I feel the Spirit. Every time we talk about it, I feel the Holy Spirit. We want to share this with you.
Oh, so great.
I know what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking the windows of heaven were open, and we found a chest up in the attic, and when we opened it, coins fell out, and we became millionaires.
Nice.
How many thought that? Or you're thinking that in Minnesota, it would be a miracle, of course, that we dug in the backyard and black crude came up. Wow. Or like they say down here, all. They check their all wells. Up north we say oil. Here they say all. We didn't discover oil. But you know, God is so faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And we were counting on His faithfulness. And something did happen. We have to tell you about this. Somebody died and left us a fortune. Jesus!
Hallelujah.
Jesus! He died and He left you a fortune!
Amen.
Do you know that? His gifts of the Spirit! Oh, we didn't know that before. We had no idea about that. We were expecting, and of course the Lord was faithful and gave us money to help people. Oh, we're going to tell you lots more in the next 2 days. My goodness. But the gifts of the Spirit began to operate. One of the first things that happened, remember when Brother Hagin came to town?
The gifts begin to operate, but I did not know what it was.
No.
My pastor had never experienced these things. And after they were in operation, he says, I don't understand it, but it's of God. And I didn't understand it. Because I'd been filled with the Spirit for many years. I knew what intercession was. But I would pray in a tongue, and then the English words would come in between my tongue. And I remember so well as I was praying one day, and I heard myself pray about a cookie. And I thought, I didn't say that. And yet it had come out of my spirit as I was praying. And I would start praying again. And I would be praying in tongues real good. And here would come cookie. And I would stop. It was like an interruption. I wasn't really happy about it. I didn't understand it. I would just assume it wouldn't happen. And then I would pray, and I'd pray about a candy. And these things kept coming in my prayer. And finally, I determined if I would just speak them out and then just keep on praying in tongues, I would do all right. I would just kind of go along with it. I didn't understand what it was. And I talked to Fern about it. And I went to Scripture. And the Scripture tells me the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And then Brother Hagin, our pastor's wife, came over one day and said, there's a man coming to our church.
It was in 1962.
Yeah. He's going to come to our church, and his name is Brother Hagin. You will enjoy him. And Fern says, great, we'll have him over for dinner in the evening, and we'll have fellowship with him. And she says, oh, no, when he's ministering, he's quiet, he's by himself, he doesn't visit with people. Well, fine, if that's the way it was going to be. But the first night that he came to our church, we were introduced to him. And many things happened during that service. But after the service, Brother Hagin came to me, and he said, I would like to have you and your wife go with Aretha and I, and we go out to a quiet place, and we're going to pray. So that was, I was happy.
I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah. So we went out to a quiet place, and we were going to pray. And I said, Brother Hagin, I've got to talk to you. I've got something I've got to know about before we pray. I said, would the Holy Spirit pray about a cookie and a candy? He and Aretha begin to laugh. And I thought, what's so funny about this? I've been so troubled. And then they said, that's the nicknames of our two granddaughters. And they were rejoicing in the Spirit. And I began to understand that in the realm of the Spirit, the Lord even knows your nickname.
Yes, He does.
He knows your nickname.
He does.
And this, I had expected God, I've been giving money, I also thought God was going to bless me with money. That's what was my expectation, that I could help others. But you see, God is much bigger than we are. And when you act on God's word, God watches over His word to perform it. And He began to move in my life. It wasn't just a little. It was an avalanche of the gifts of the Spirit. And I stepped into a realm I did not understand. But praise God for Brother Hagin. He came and he taught the word. And he spent time with us to explain what the Lord was doing in our life.
We never heard anything like it. Well, we knew the Bible. We knew the Bible just as well as anybody in our church knew the Bible. We quoted it. We certainly believed it. But then again, we didn't believe it. But you see, when we acted on what we knew, that's what faith is. Faith says, we never talk about faith. We talk about obedience. When the Lord says something, you do it. I count on what He's so faithful.
Praise God.
God is so faithful that if He tells me something and I read it in the Bible, I'm going to go ahead and do it because it's His idea, not mine. Everything's His idea that He has us do. So why should we worry about it? We're just sort of borne along by the Spirit. It's like a wind that carries a puffball or nothing. But, you know, just carries that along. It's just like being borne along. That's the way it's been. Now, we can go back 25 years. We can tell you so many things that have happened. And we can take you right up to last week. It happened now with greater acceleration. Things that are happening, that's what we want to catch you up on. I remember we were coming into the freeway.
One thing I want to share was, as these begin to happen to me, I said, Lord, I said, you've got to show it to me in the Scripture. And you know, the Lord would give me the chapter to read in the Bible. And the Lord talked to me about the 16th chapter of John. And as I was reading, if you turn to your 16th chapter of John, and I came down to the 13th verse, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, and it tells us here, but when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth. He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He tells whatever He hears from the Father, and He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you things that are to come that will happen in the future. And God began to move in my life, began to tell me things of the future. And in the realm of the Spirit, I began to know so many things that I didn't know with my mind. And it was a time of learning how to move in the realm of the Spirit. And as you were going to just share.
Yes. I was thinking at that time we were coming in from Wisconsin into Minnesota. And we had a tape of Dave Ingalls' music playing. And we had listened to, we were praising the Lord with him, and then the tape went off, and we were just praising the Lord. And as it happens with my husband, when he's praising the Lord, and we're praising the Lord together, and even around the house, we'd be eating breakfast or whatever we're doing, he hears it for the first time, too. English words will come out. Sometimes, I'm sure, some of your names that are sitting here, because the Lord definitely told us we were to be here in these meetings. Another prayer, He definitely tells us where we're to be and what He wants us to do. And so we feel that these meetings are certainly ordered of the Holy Ghost, bringing forth Kenneth Hagin Jr. in the Spirit, bringing forth his precious ministry that's coming forth. It's hard to be the son of a famous man when the Lord's got a ministry for you. And he has a tremendous ministry, and we're here to help bring that forth. And not only that, we are examples to you. Whatever has happened to us is to happen to you. God doesn't love us one speck better than he loves you. I don't know if we've been more obedient. I can think of lots of times we weren't obedient. But I know when we knew God spoke to us, I know that right away we did it. We'll prove that to you. Well, we were coming in the car from Wisconsin, praising the Lord, and I heard my husband praying about many things, and we finally arrived at our home. We retired for the night, and we had been visiting some friends. Some other friends called the next day and said, oh, we missed you that day, and we'll be coming in a couple days. Could we just stop in and see you? We're coming in on business to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we have to go right back, so we won't have but just a minute. And we said, they called on the phone. We said, sure, well, we'll be home. We'll be home all day Saturday, so come on over. So pretty soon they arrived. And Vernon went out in the garage with my husband. You know how they do, they kick the tires and talk about the car and they talk about things in his church, and Phil's telling them about things. And Phyllis came in the house with me, and I'm got the coffee pot on. We're setting the table, getting a few things ready for a light lunch. And Phyllis said to me, oh, by the way, I want you and Philip to be sure and pray. We're asking everybody to pray for our mortician's wife, Mrs. Edwards, who they found about 4 days ago in her hallway. Her husband came home from doing whatever morticians do, and he found her in the hallway unconscious. And he thought, well, she's fainted, or he couldn't raise her up. He couldn't revive her, so he brought her to the local hospital. They said, we can't do a thing for her. Nothing works. Take her to a bigger hospital. So they brought her to a bigger hospital about 50 miles from there. And they said that second day, you must bring her to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. She's been unconscious so long, and there's nothing we can do for her. So Phyllis said he took her to Mayo's in the hearse. You know, he brought her there in the hearse. And Mayo Clinic examined her thoroughly. He stayed right with her. And they said, we're very sorry to tell you this, Mr. Edwards. Your wife has an inoperable brain aneurysm. If it was anyplace else, we could probably cut the vein and get it. But where it is not possible to operate. And they said, we'll call you when you should pick up your wife's body. So heavy-hearted, he went back to his little town in Wisconsin. Well, Phyllis told me that, and oh, I promised to pray. Oh, yes. And we got ready for bed that night. We worshiped the Lord and prayed about many things, and we drifted off to sleep, and I never even thought to tell my husband about Mrs. Edwards. Never thought of it at all. But at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened by a loud, I mean loud, voice. Philip was praying in the Spirit loudly.
I began to pray. I awakened. I was praying in a tongue as I awakened. And there was a great anointing. And I prayed in a tongue for a period of time. And then I spoke out. I heard myself mention the name of Mrs. Edwards. And I began to pray for the aneurysm. I began to pray about Rochester. And I began to lift her up to the Lord for her complete healing, her complete deliverance, that the Lord would restore her completely back to her family. And while I was praying, Fern was laying there, and she was poking me. And I thought, why humble me when I'm praying in the Spirit?
I was so excited because I heard Mrs. Edwards' name, I heard Mayo, I heard Rochester, and I thought, of course, I thought he knew all about it. And I thought the Spirit was taking hold, and you didn't know anything about it.
When I was to do, I says, I wonder who Mrs. Edwards is. That's many ways the Holy Spirit will meet. Many times like that. You know nothing about what you're praying for. But go ahead.
And so I told him who Mrs. Edwards was. And then we continued on with our understanding to pray and hold up to the Lord the things the Spirit had prayed about. Yes, Lord, restore to full health. Lord, you just dissolve that brain aneurysm, confound the doctors, and raise her up to health. We just agreed with what the Spirit had prayed. We went right back to sleep. In the morning, we awakened refreshed. As it is when the Spirit prays at night, does it many nights. We awaken, we're in full health, we eat anything we want to, and we never, a lot of times we don't sleep at night because we're praying, sometimes at night, not every night, but some nights. We're always refreshed. He refreshes us. Now, not that next day. I've forgotten what the days were, but let's say when Phyllis and Verna came over, it was a Saturday, and let's say this happened Saturday night, well, not Sunday. But Monday, or it was Tuesday, we got a call from Phyllis and Vernon. And they said, I answered the phone, and they said, have you heard what happened to Mrs. Edwards? And I said, well, how would we hear? And she said, oh, I've got to tell you something. Be sure Phyllis wasn't home just then. And she said, oh, I've got to tell you. She said, Rochester, Minnesota, the Mayo Clinic called Mr. Edwards yesterday. Or I guess it was Sunday, anyway. Yesterday. And they said, he was out doing whatever morticians do. And the secretary took the message, and she had to leave. It was 5 o'clock. She had to leave. And she wrote down, Mayo Clinic calls to pick up your wife. And so, of course, being a mortician, being a good Lutheran, like we were, usually, he took the hearse down to pick her up. Very heavy-hearted. Very heavy-hearted. And he went around to the back where morticians go to do whatever morticians do. And he didn't find anybody that knew anything about that there. And he walked through, and he finally came out into the lobby, and he was going to ask at the information desk about Mrs. Edwards. And there he saw his wife sitting. She's all perfectly dressed in the right mind. And he went toward her. She recognized him. She knew what had happened to him. The doctors don't know what happened to her. You can't imagine what happened to her. We know what happened to her. Do you know what happened to her? Yes. A prayer of agreement was made. We agreed with the Spirit. The Spirit had them definitely not. We couldn't even believe it, could we, when we were told on the phone?
We'd heard it, but you know, this natural mind is so programmed to the things of the world, though, even though you know what's happened, the next Saturday, we drove down to see her, to talk with them.
Yeah.
And I remember standing and looking at them, perfectly healthy she was, and I thought about how the Holy Spirit had interceded, the things I had spoken for, and, you know, it's easy to believe sometimes that it can operate through someone else. But you yourself had spoken this, and this had happened, and I had known nothing of it. But you see, the wisdom of our God to give us that Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Because when you pray in the language you understand, many times you're so astounded, you draw back. It's too awesome to hear what you're saying. It's awesome. And so in His wisdom, He gives you a language you don't understand, so you cannot interfere with His plan. You just speak it forth. Because we have authority in this earth, the minister here. We have authority.
Let's not pass up a wonderful opportunity to praise the Lord right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. If you would open your Bibles to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. 6th chapter of Ephesians. The 18th verse here. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. We all know there are many different prayers we can pray. And we pray all these different prayers. But here it says you're to pray with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And I found that I begin to move into this realm of praying all these different prayers in the Spirit. It was not of what I knew, because my knowledge was too limited. But I step into that realm of praying in the tongue, and you step into a realm of the Spirit where there's no limit, and you step into the realm of the heavenly. And your spirit goes out, and you begin to minister, intercede for other people's needs. There is the warfare of Satan. He's warring at everyone. And if you're a saint of God, you're going to find warfare. And for these leaders of big churches and that, boy, they come up against some of the rulers of darkness. And they know the warfare. They know it. And I have known it in the Spirit. Because there is, in the same verse here it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. And in the realm of the Spirit, you watch. You watch over things. And you will know things in your spirit that no one else knows. You will pray no prayer that you could have prayed with your own understanding. And you reach out to lift up ministries.
Yeah.
You reach out to lift up individuals in their need.
Yeah.
As you will give yourself to prayer, the Holy Spirit, He comes to join with you. As you will speak forth the utterance, He gives you the utterance.
You have to have, friends, today, an identifiable experience with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now you must have that.
Yes.
You must have that.
Yes.
The Word and the Spirit. The Spirit moved on the face of the waters, and God said. It says Acts 1:1, and Acts has never ended. It's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
It says Jesus began to both teach and to do. Now we're teaching you. We hope we're teaching you. We hope the Holy Spirit's teaching you. We know He is. But then you're to do it. Get alone with God. Listen, get on your face with God. You won't do it till you feel so empty. As long as you feel satisfied with what you're going to meetings, listening to tapes, going to conventions. There's a lot of people that make this their church, just going to conventions. We know a woman that does that. So we know several people. We've met them at different conventions. They never miss. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But if that's all people do, that's all they do is listen to tapes all day. A lot of people do that. That's not what God wants. He wants you. What do you think he's in this for? What are we in it for ourselves? What's in it for me? That's what the world says. No, listen. What's in it for God?
Amen.
That's how we think of others. First, we think of God. We think God.
Amen.
How are you going to meet the need of that? Poor soul, we met in the grocery store. Man, we came out with 2 sacks of groceries. And I said to Phil, did you notice that couple right behind us, that young man with a cute little Filipino wife and a little baby? I said they had one loaf of bread, a quart of milk, and a little package of lunch meat. I just happened to notice that. So we came out of the Safeway store, and we walked right around through the end door, and we came back in. We knew they had a need. We had some extra money with us. We didn't have to go home and open up a big safe where we kept millions of dollars and dole it out. No, we had enough with us that day. So we knew they had a need. Now this is where it starts. It doesn't start on platforms. Doesn't start with big meetings. Doesn't start with having a ministry. Doesn't start that way at all. It starts with what you see that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit will direct you. God will actually pick up people and put right in front of you with a need to see if you're going to do it. Because he's got the outcome all planned. He's got the need there. What do you think needs are prepared for? God's got everything. But, oh, man, he can position you. He's got it made. Well, therein lies the problem, that he cannot get us to move. Most of us, he can't. So we went right back in the grocery store, and they were just checking out, and they were getting ready to go, and we kind of, Phil went over to him. Do you remember what you said to him?
Well, we looked, and we had seen they had a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, and a little bit of lunch meat. And it was in Tulsa. It was a cold winter day with snow on the ground, and he was a younger man, no doubt not out of the army too long. He had a little Filipino wife and a little boy about, oh, I'd say 18 months old, with just a kind of a light little sweater, not even a sweater, like a shirt on. And we knew they had a need. We knew. So I walked over to him and began to talk to him, and I found out that he was unemployed. He'd come down from Indiana, been in Tulsa. He said, I'd worked for about 2 months. And then he said, I've been out of work and hadn't been able to get work. And so I said to him, I said, well, I said, I said, I'd like to pray with you that the Lord. Yeah, well, yes. So I raised my pocket and I gave him some money. I put some money in his hand. And he said, this is very unusual. And I said, well, I just want to do this for you. And then I said, I would like to pray that the Lord would give you a job. Well, he says, if it pleases you. I said, it pleases me. He says, okay. I took his hand, and I prayed that God would give him a job, intervene for him, to bless his family.
I got her telephone number as we were over by the windows, and they were getting ready to go. And I said, well, can I have your telephone number? She said, sure. She gave it to me. And we didn't say any more than that. We got home. We said, oh, man, there's a couple we've got to contact. And they lived in Owosso. That's a suburb of Tulsa. And we didn't know much about Tulsa then. We just come down to Tulsa, moved at the Lord's direction, which we'll tell you about tomorrow. And do you know? We went to call them on the telephone to invite them to come to church with us. Or could we take them someplace to their church, find out where they're at? And we couldn't get them on the phone. I said to Phil, oh, just think. They told us they use food stamps. And I said, well, they were too proud to tell us they had to disconnect the phone. So what we'll do, first thing, this is Saturday, first thing Monday morning, we'll call the telephone company. And we know, we're old, but we know how these things work. You punch things on a computer, a telephone number, and they can tell you what the bill is, what your grandmother's middle name was, and all this stuff. So we said, Monday morning, we're going to find out what the bill is, and we're just quietly going to send a check to the telephone company, and we'll pay the bill. God will give us the money to pay the bill. It's not for us, it's for them. That's a God's in that kind of business. Did you learn something there? Okay. So Monday morning, bright and early, boy, we called the telephone company and gave them their last name and their telephone number. And we said, could you please tell us where, what the bill is so we can pay it? And the lady said, did you dial a 1 first? And I hadn't done that. When I dialed a 1 first, of course, we got them right away. And she answered the phone. I said, do you remember me? I'm Mrs. Halverson. I met you in the Safeway store on Saturday. And she kind of murmured, yes, she did. And I said, my husband would like very much to talk to your husband. She says, well, he just went for another job interview. And this is natural thinking. I said, well, as soon as he gets back, have him call us. I gave her a number. See, I'm thinking he's going to be back in an hour or two. Well, he called later that day around 6 o'clock, and he announced excitedly that my husband, he got a job. And Philip says, you remember what we prayed in the Safeway store? I asked God to give you a job. And he says, oh, yes, I do. And, of course, the rest of the story is one of glory to God. So, you see, any place you are, Jesus came to minister to the poor and needy. Now, the poor are always among us. You won't have any problem finding them. They'll just come your way and you'll find them. But listen, needy people aren't necessarily poor. Oh, their needs are very great. And the Lord will give you the things to minister to them in. Now, we are talking about that God made a show, Jesus made a show of principalities and powers. He showed them openly so everybody could see. And that's what he's doing today, is displaying his power.
Yes, amen.
The power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of Jesus. Jesus is manifesting himself through you to help other people and to do the works of God that he's ordained to do. How did God show in the Old Testament openly how he did it? Well, for one thing, remember the crossing of, remember the children of Israel, how he brought them out of the land of Egypt. There was crass idolatry in Egypt. God could not show the people that he chose. He could have chosen any people. He just chose his people. He chose them. And he had to bring them out of that idolatry in order to show them his holiness. They didn't know what holiness was. They didn't know what the glory of the Lord was. And we're coming into, friends, the glory of the Lord. And they had to come into that. But then he brought them, he showed openly in the Red Sea parting. Not only did he put away natural laws and piles up so they could walk on dry ground, but he killed their enemy. And the scripture says they were never troubled again with that. They never saw Pharaoh again. He never gave them any trouble, because why? He drowned in the sea. God piled it up first and then let it go and drowned the enemy. And that's the business God is in. And we do that when we let God make a show of things openly.
Nice.
And we do it in secret. We do it in our prayer closet. We do it before the Father. But God doesn't do that. God, then, he makes a big display out of what he's doing. And that's what we want you to know. Look out for it in your own life. Jesus is loose. He's loose. If you'll let him be loose. And he wants to do all kinds of things. And he'll do it through you. And then we remember in Sodom and Gomorrah how God showed his wrath. And we remember in the Tower of Babel how he showed his indignation. God's got many things he wants to show, but he does it. He shows them openly. He does great, stupendous things like that to show the different sides of his nature. Now, we know that in the Old Testament, the prophets were special men of God. They heard the voice of God, and everybody listened to them. And you know how they knew they were a prophet? Because what they said came to pass. They didn't just say things. But what they said happened. So they were prophets. And everybody'd have to go and see, what's the prophet saying? If he's a good prophet, it'll come to pass. If he's not a good prophet, it won't. And then some of the evil prophets, there are those too, you know. Why, they would prophesy what they thought the king would want to hear. And the evil king, he knew it wasn't true. See, Ahab knew it wasn't true. He had to finally get the prophet to prophesy. And when he did, look out. So we know in the Old Testament, certain men were used of God. In the New Testament, God showed through Jesus, it says, we beheld his glory. There we saw one man, full of the glory of God, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, healing the sick, casting out demons. And then everybody saw that. The disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, they beheld him. They fell on their faces. They were slain in the spirit, watching the glory of God. And then what does Luke 1:75 tell us? Turn to that. Luke 1:75. I'll read it out of the Amplified. In holiness, that is divine consecration. In holiness and righteousness, living within his presence all the days of our lives. Do you think that's just written in there to make it sound good? Listen, you can live within the presence of God every single day, one day at a time. Let his glory be manifest. Let His glory. Live within that presence of God. And you'll find that as you make Jesus just the center. Don't just talk about Him. Don't just hear about Him. Don't just read about Him. Don't just associate with those that know Him. Don't only do that. Do that. But then make that your goal, is that Jesus knows you and you've got to get to know Him better. So that way we can live within the presence of His glory. And that way, of course, we have a vital experience. That's why the Holy Spirit is given. He's the energizer. He's the activator. He makes all these things come to pass if we yield to Him. And we do. How many want to yield to the Holy Spirit? If you really want to, put up both hands if you want to. Let's pray.
Yes, hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Father, we thank
hallelujah.
You because hallelujah. The Holy Spirit does energize
hallelujah.
Us. He does activate
yes.
His word with us so that we can do the works of Jesus in these days. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Louder.
Hallelujah.
Louder.
Hallelujah.
Louder. Praise
glory.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise you, Lord, for your glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory.